weekends and holidays, being away from them on these special events, that was really tough. And then once I had a kid, you know, my daughter, I sometimes would do like where I'd work three shifts, you know, back to back to back. She was only one or two, but she would actually be kind of rude to me, like, because I'd been gone. And I'd get home and I'd have to like basically really invest some time to get her back to like wanting to play with me. And she didn't know why she was mad at me. But, and so that, you know, that was just kind of like, I didn't want to do that forever. Oh, I'm working really hard for my money, but my money's not working hard for me. And I also knew, like, retirement wise, I wasn't really going to ever save my way with my retirement account to financial freedom.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited to introduce our guest for the day, Drew White. Drew, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
I am too. I love your story. So everyone, Drew is a former pediatric oncology nurse turned modern wealth consultant for real estate investors, business owners, and athletes. So really excited to get into your story. And how and why did you get into real estate investing? Why don't you start us off there?
Yeah. So my journey started with just, I was a pediatric oncology nurse and I graduated with $150,000 plus in student loan debt, which you and I chatted about. And I did not have a background in money. I didn't, you know, my dad was a pastor, so it's not like he had a background in finance or anything. And he sat me down and was, you know, so showed me how to budget and was like, wait a second, like half of my money that I'm making here is going to go to paying down this debt. I told you as well, it's like, I was making about 35, 40,000 a year at that point. And I'm like, this does not add up, you know? And so my dad knew a little bit about Dave Ramsey. I'm not as big of a Dave Ramsey guy now, but I followed his path to get out of debt. And then once I did it, you know, quickly. And once I got to zero though. And I was like, what do you do now? Like I'm at zero. Where do I go from here? I've only kind of lived in this scarcity mindset. I mean, I was a coupon clipper.
Real quick, Drew, I just want to pause you for a second.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to this story that you are just telling, which I love so much. So first of all, what year was it that you were only making $35,000, $40,000 as a nurse?
Yes, I graduated in 2009. So right around 2009, 2010.
And I think that's crazy to make $35,000, $40,000 as a nurse. I mean, you just went through how many years of schooling?
Yeah. So I did five because I was an athlete. So I had to add a year on.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I did about 5 years of college. Yeah.
Okay. What were you an athlete in?
I was a soccer player. I had a very tragic story where I tried out, I made the team, and then the next year they cut me, but I was already now on this 5-year plan.
Gosh.
So there was no way off of it, according to them.
Oh man.
But maybe they just wanted the extra year of money. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure it made you a stronger, more resilient person in the end.
It definitely did.
But yeah. Okay. So 35 and you had a $35,000, $40,000, and you were making like $150,000 in loans. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about this exactly, but do you remember what your monthly payment was for your student loans?
No, I don't. I have those numbers. I could go back and look.
Yeah.
But I also did the Dave Ramsey kind of like his style is gazelle
okay.
style. And so I was putting everything extra to it, which, you know, you and I can get into looking back. I wish I had, you know, put that into real estate.
Yeah.
And done that instead of focusing so much on this debt number that really was, you know, eating at me and a huge weight that I carried.
Yeah.
And I wish I had understood wealth principles better and having other people pay that off, you know, but it was, I do remember that it was like basically half of my, like one whole paycheck. I was like, basically goes to this right now.
Yeah.
And the other one was for living expenses. And I was single at the time. So, you know, I mean, I just golfed and that's about it.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely want to get into that later on about your reflections, looking back on that, the Dave Ramsey approach.
Yeah.
We'll circle back to that. But for now, go ahead and continue on. You know, you were telling us how you first found real estate.
Yeah. So once I got to zero, I was kind of like, okay, what do I do here? Because I mean, I only had been in kind of this scarcity of like, and just really kind of this desperation. I've got to get out of this debt. So once I got to zero, I was like, well, now what? What, you know, what do I do? So I started reading everything I could. And that my debt was really the start of my whole financial journey, because it made me hungry to learn more and be like, you know, this isn't going to be my lot in life forever, you know? And so I started reading about what other people were doing, found out, oh yeah, real estate. That's what people have been doing for a long time, but still kind of being in a scarcity mindset. I decided, you know what, I'm going to flip mobile homes first. And, you know, I'm going to get my feet wet on this. And I provided notes for mobile homes, which, you know, I still have some. And then I found my way around the same time to...
Real quick, can you just break that down for us?
Yeah.
So you flipped mobile homes and you provided notes, but those are two different business lines, right?
They're the same. Yeah. So I basically was, you know, I'd buy mobile homes at a discount. Like I could get it for $500 sometimes, $1,000, or sometimes people ask me to take it for free. You don't always want those. And then what you do is you turn around and you don't, like a lot of the last few I was doing, I didn't even do any work on them. I just turned around and I sold. No one's providing mobile home financing, or not many companies. And so I was just basically be the bank and provide the financing for the home for someone who just needed an opportunity. You know, they may have had good credit and all this stuff. And so that's really what I would do. So a lot of times I'd get my money back on the down payment that they'd give me. They'd be paying me monthly for 5-7 years, depending on how long you structure the deal. So you can flip them for cash. I did do that for my first few. And then, but you can also provide the notes as well. So that's where I initially, you know, started. Just wanted to kind of get into the game, get my feet wet, learned a ton about handymen and how to work with them. And then around that same time, I found the infinite banking concept. And that's really where I learned like a lot more about wealth principles and things that other people have been doing for years, and about leverage and, you know, other people's money and that, you know, good debt versus bad debt and all of that. So now my wife and I, as we've kind of grown our knowledge, moved away from the mobile home game and are looking to buy a multifamily, you know, apartment deal here locally that we're still on the hunt for, but we're actively looking. That's kind of my journey to, you know, today.
Yeah, for sure. I love that so much. And I mean, I think that's one thing that's so interesting about real estate investors in general is that we usually start somewhere and then grow to somewhere else, right? It's not like just like we get interested in real estate and then usually there's some kind of journey, because there's so many different things you can do in real estate, but figuring out the exact alchemy of like, well, how is it that I want to be using my time and my resources is something that it does change for most, I find.
Yeah. And it can be overwhelming at first, because you first learn about real estate and you're like, okay, that's what everybody's doing. You know, you got to get into real estate. And then it's like, oh my gosh, there's land flipping, you know, there's apartments, there's single family. How do I know what is the best, you know? And I struggled with that for a while with analysis paralysis. And then the reason I really went into mobile homes, I heard this guy on a podcast and read an article about it. And I thought, I don't have to do any debt yet. So I'll learn small. You know, and so that's kind of how I chose, but I had a really hard time choosing forever. I had read about it for years and just didn't jump in because I just kept, you know, putting it off and reading more about other ways people made money in real estate.
For sure. I mean, I think a lot of people can go through that whole process as well. Analysis paralysis, shiny object syndrome, whatever it is for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I got lucky in that. Just on that same note, I ended up Airbnb-ing my basement room, and I wasn't setting out to do that. It just so happened that that worked really well.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I ever would have chose it, you know? And so what was it that eventually got you to say, okay, I'm going to start flipping mobile homes?
Yeah. I honestly wanted to have some passive income. I was doing the nurse thing. I didn't even get into this, but I also did some day trading. And so I had heard some day traders say like, you know, if you want to do this long-term, and I really loved it. It was like, you've got to have something else. And a lot of really good day traders have real estate and some other side thing that it's really mentally taxing to just do day trading. And I knew I wanted out of
it. And why is that?
It's because basically this is your sole source of income. So when you're trading, you're thinking about your income and making money more than you're thinking about executing the trade properly and doing the formula or your system. So I had a certain system and I tried to quit my nursing job a little bit and do that. And I would fail at it because I would get so focused on I've got to make money so I don't go back to being a nurse, you know? And so I realized, you know, I started reading about the real estate, like I mentioned, and it was like, just kind of been on the sidelines too long. And I thought, I need to stop. I need to like get in and start doing this instead of just, I don't know. I had like kind of a moment where it was like, I've been reading about this so long. It's time to take some action. And so I also knew like left to my own devices, I probably never take action. So then I hired a coach because I was like, I need that accountability. And within like 21 days, you know, I had my first deal after years of reading and doing nothing, you know? And so that was kind of a light bulb moment too, is like, man, how far can I go with a coach? And so I still use that today. Like I have a business coach. You know, I always have someone coaching me because I'm better with a coach than I am left solo.
For sure. And that's really smart. You know, I mean, I think that you knowing your strengths and weaknesses and knowing, you know, what's going to actually get you to the next level. And sometimes there is an element of like, you know, I have to give myself the best shot possible. And even if it feels like a pretty large investment, if you know that it's going to help you get to the next level and, you know, it's better than going back to where you were, it's worth the risk, you know?
Right, right.
You know, there's so much I want to ask you, but let's just start this. What was it that was so bad about being a nurse? Because I heard you say I'd have to go back to being a nurse.
You know what? First off, I have a ton of respect for the nursing profession. For me,
of course,
once I became a nurse, there were just some things. It's like as an 18, 19, 20 year old, I didn't think about. All I heard was, hey, you're going to work 3 days a week. You're going to have 4 days off. I was single. And I was like, I'm going to get a golf membership and I'm going to golf. And I just thought that's going to be the life, you know? And so I wasn't married yet. I didn't have kids, but I had nieces and nephews and even just having to miss their like fun little sporting events on weekends. And then holidays, I'm very family oriented. That's what drives me. That's like, you know, my goal to be financially free is family is really a big driver for that. And so when I started seeing like, oh my gosh, weekends and holidays being away from them on these special events, that was really tough. And then once I had a kid, you know, my daughter, I sometimes would do like where I'd work three shifts, you know, back to back to back so I could have 4 days off. She was only one or two, but she would actually be kind of rude to me, like, cause I'd been gone. I'd been gone 13 hours, basically didn't see her for three straight days. And I'd get home and I'd have to like basically really invest some time to get her back to like wanting to play with me. And she didn't know why she was mad at me, but, and so that, you know, that was just kind of like, I didn't want to do that forever. And then, you know, as we've mentioned, the reading and realizing like, oh, I'm working really hard for my money, but my money's not working hard for me. And I also knew like retirement wise, I wasn't really going to ever save my way with my retirement account to financial freedom. And it's just kind of was like this snowball effect. It's like, I just kind of started seeing like, I don't want to do this forever. It's very stressful, you know? And then once you have kids and you start seeing other, I was in pediatrics. Once you start seeing other sick kids, you start thinking your kids, you're going to have something and that everything, every little bruise and thing is, you know, it's, oh my God, that's cancer, you know, and it's not, but you start to really worry about them. And so I just knew I couldn't mentally do it forever. I knew pretty quickly it wasn't forever for me.
Yeah. That's so interesting. My sister is a doctor in hematology, pediatric oncology, and I don't know how she does it, you know, because it's just talking about just the hardest stuff all day long. So
it takes a special person to do it long-term for sure. I did 10 years and then I let my license expire last year. And so,
and that's a long time, you know,
yeah, it was
dealing with cancer in kids day in and day out. So, okay. So I also want to touch on, you know, your debt, $150,000 for going to nursing school and making $35,000, $40,000. How does anybody in nursing make that work?
Well, other people are smarter than me. They don't go to such expensive colleges. I was stuck on, I wanted to play soccer here at this specific college. So that was some of it. It's like my dad tried to talk me out of it, but I wasn't very smart. And so a lot of them, you know, they go to cheaper schools than that. But, you know, working extra, a lot of nurses work extra. They'll pick up bonus, pick up overtime. You know, I was doing that. You know, I didn't really like it, but, you know, you're exhausted when you do those 4 12-hour shifts. So, but honestly, it's not really sustainable. Like it wasn't sustainable. I knew if I was gonna have a family, that's why I was pretty intense about like, okay, I'm just gonna live below my means and really pay this down because I didn't see like, how was I gonna, you know, have my kids be able to do the things they want to do and my wife do, you know, travel or whatever she wanted to do with this kind of income. So, yeah. And now, you know, I'm in the Midwest, so our pay was a little bit lower than others nationwide.
Oh, but there's nurses in the Midwest, you know, so,
yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
I think the point is that it's probably somewhat stressful for nurses in general.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I also wanted to revisit the Dave Ramsey approach because, you know, I know a lot of people go to him when they're trying to get out of debt and I'm sure it helps a lot of people. I'd love to hear your take on just like what the philosophy was, how it worked for you, and then how you view it in hindsight.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the philosophy is, you know, he does the snowball effect. So, you know, you don't maybe worry about like what's your highest interest payment or where you owe the most. You just say, okay, like if I have $2,000 debt and a $15,000 debt, I'm going to pay down the $2,000 first and put all my extra money to that. Because that gives you like, in his theory is, you know, it kind of just gives you that like momentum of, oh, okay, I got one down. So now you take all that extra from the $2,000 that you're paying and you put it on the $15,000 debt. And then he also is very like, promotes just what he calls his gazelle And that's where, like, you know, you work extra, you work all that you can extra, and you put everything you can to this, and you just get out as fast as you can. So that's kind of his, you know, his approach. And I took, I would say, like a partial gazelle. I was like, well, I still want to golf and have some fun, you know, and not torture myself. I didn't really do all, because nursing school is hard. And like, I didn't really do all that to live a life where I'm just torturing myself and eating ramen noodles, you know?
Yeah.
So I did a partial gazelle. In hindsight, you know, I came across this guy named Jamal King. And that's where, like, he was talking on a podcast about, you know, real estate and debt and things. And what I would do differently, you know, is that I would probably just pay my minimums, and I would start saving that up to buy real estate and to have other people pay that debt down over time. And I don't think I would have let that debt stress me out as much as it was stressing me out, and realizing that, you know, because I put so much extra, you know, and I worked hard. I could have put that same effort and had real estate and had passive income coming in, you know, and then other people paying down my student loan debt. And maybe at that point, I'm not so stressed about being a nurse either. You know, maybe my mindset's different because I have this other side thing going on, you know? And so, you know, I mean, and everybody has to do what's right for them. You know, Dave definitely works for some people, and he did work for me. And I'm grateful to him because he kickstarted my financial journey. I had no desire to learn about money until I read about his stuff. But, you know, I've just learned since there's different ways.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, we all are taking in information and taking action and making sense of it as we go on. And, you know, so just to make that clear for the listeners, you know, what was your student loan rate approximately?
Gosh, I think it was around 4.5% when I first graduated.
Which is pretty low for student loans,
actually. Yeah, it was pretty low. Yeah. I know I had one that was like a government loan that was around 6, but I think, like, I also had, like, most of my loans through Wells Fargo at like 4.5.
Okay. Yeah, great. And so just for the listeners, you could either pay the minimum and then take whatever extra you had, invest it into real estate and earn a much higher return, say, like, I don't know, what would you say, 15, 20%, maybe even more?
Yeah. I think that's fair. 15, 20. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on what you're doing with it. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually take that extra money and have it make more for you. And instead of just paying on the debt as quickly as possible. I will say that I too, you know, without going to the Dave Ramsey school, I did pay down my student loans. Like, I felt like this weight because I also didn't understand the mentality of the investor mindset. I just didn't have that. And I didn't understand, oh, you can make more from your money on investing. And then I just wanted to get out from under it. And I didn't even have that much in loans. So it's a journey, right, to figuring that out. And I even worked in finance. But developing that investor mindset isn't necessarily something that the normal world teaches you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it is a weight. And that's what I felt. And I felt this burden, this heaviness to it. And so I didn't know how to think like, you know, a wealth creator. I knew how to think in poverty kind of lack mentality more than anything.
For sure. And that helped you get to zero. So paying down your debt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it sounds like you were day trading as well as still being a nurse, mm-hmm. as well as reading about real estate at that point. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
So I, you know, really learned while doing the nursing thing. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And how would you compare real estate to day trading? I mean, I know that's kind of a broad question, but.
Yeah. Far less passive, you know, and there are systems where you can set up and I guess, you know, it kind of does run itself. The kind I was doing, you got to be in front of the screen and really monitor it. Less predictable. So, you know, I heard someone talking about with real estate, a lot of times you can pretty accurately predict where things are going to be in a year from now, right? You may have some repairs, but hopefully you've, you know, already, you know, kind of prepared for that and budgeted for that. And so a lot of times you know where your cash flow and things are going to be a year from now. Day trading, you could show up and be in the wrong mindset that day. And if you don't have good safeguards in place, you know, you can blow a decent amount. So way more volatile and up and down and fluctuating. And, you know, real estate, you have a lot more, I think, safety and control built in, I would say.
So at what point did you decide to stop day trading, or did you ever stop?
Yeah, so I stopped because I got really into the infinite banking thing and real estate. And time-wise, it was like, you know what? I don't have time for it. I also became a huge fan of Bitcoin. And so I was like, you know what? You know, this is another way I'm going to store some wealth is in Bitcoin, which is very volatile, kind of like day trading. So, you know, I don't do it as like, you know, frequently. I have some like that I do for fun on the side, but like not like I was. So basically hit pause as I built my infinite banking business. And then as my wife and I wanted to do the real estate. So right around the time I started doing mobile homes a few years ago.
Okay, cool. Interesting. And that was for all the reasons you stated. Was that because just the unpredictability of it and the time it took, et cetera?
Yeah. So there's a lot. It's like, you really got to be able to have focused time, be alone, be solo. I have kids, wife, and so, and they were young. So it's like, and I still have one that's home. And so I kind of said, you know what, I'm just going to hit pause. And then I became, the other reason is just, I became very passionate about what I'm doing now. And it was like, you know, as you kind of grow and realize, like I was really passionate about day trading, but then I became even more passionate about what I'm doing now. And it was like, and it fit me more in terms of I'm outgoing. I like to talk with people, and sitting in front of a screen maybe wasn't what I wanted to do all day. I might want to do it a few hours, but not all day. So yeah. So kind of just part of the evolution of growing, I would say.
For sure. And let's talk about that passion now. So when you say you became more passionate about what you're doing now, what is that you're passionate about?
Yeah, it's teaching investors, business owners, and athletes, like you mentioned, how to implement the infinite banking concept and use it, you know, with what they're already doing, kind of, you know, free their money from maybe a banking system that's not totally set up in their favor. Getting loans from them, great, but storing money there, not totally set up in their favor. And so for me, I read, there's a book called Becoming Your Own Banker, and I was halfway through and I was like, this, I get this, this makes sense. I want to do this. And I was even like, I want to teach people this. Like, and I told my wife and she's like, really? I was like, I'm serious. Like, and haven't looked back since. Just became very, very passionate about it. Once I understood what was going on in these concepts, it was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. And who would you say the ideal avatar is for infinite banking?
Honestly, it requires someone to have an open mind a little bit. You know, it really is for everyone, but not everyone will get it, I would say, because, you know, there's some people who they're just going to follow the traditional way that they've been told to grow their wealth or where to put their money. So I think it's people who have an open mind. One of the reasons I work with real estate investors and business owners is they tend to think more long-term, and, you know, they're not so focused on instant gratification, right? And so this system, it really reaps its rewards over time, just like real estate, you know? And so that's one of the reasons we work with real estate investors is they are able to think outside the box, have an open mind. They're not following all the traditional advice. So typically, you know, real estate investors and business owners get it quicker, but it really is for everyone. We have doctors and we do have nurses, you know, who do this, but it just requires being a little bit open-minded.
Awesome. And what about for people who aren't really wanting to get or feel like they need an insurance policy at this point in their lives?
Yeah. So it's what we use for the banking is a specifically designed whole life insurance policy, but, you know, we're not so focused on the part of the insurance part. That's kind of like, maybe I'd say icing on the cake, right? So it's not so much for us about the insurance side. It's more about the benefits that come with it and using it for banking purposes. So, but, you know, if someone didn't have, you know, insurance, I would always, you know, say it's definitely good to have for your family members if you want to pass on wealth tax-free. But that's not the side, honestly, that we're as focused on either. We're focused more on how can you use this to basically grow your wealth and create more financial freedom.
For sure. Yes. And we're definitely going to get into that more in your next show, Drew. I would love to hear just a little bit more right now about the mindset of, you know, wealth creation versus scarcity. Could you just tell me what that transformation was like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I still think I'm still going through it at times, honestly. You know, I just kind of had this lack mentality where never have enough, always needing more. And I think, and seeing other people's success maybe as like a reflection on me that I'm not enough, right? So I think abundance is realizing, you know, that there's more than enough to go around. And that, you know, it sounds, you know, a little bit maybe cheesy, but being okay with where you're at right now, you know, and that you are enough right now. And yeah. And one of those things that happened for me with abundance is I learned, you know, this concept of the gain, which means, you know, you look back and you measure where were you to where you are now, and you see all the growth. So for me, like I was $150,000 in debt. I didn't know anything about money, and I've grown quite a bit from that guy, you know, instead of looking at like, well, hey, this person's got, you know, 100 units and I only have X amount, right? I'm not enough. I'm never going to measure up to that person. And so instead of, you know, maybe what can I learn from him? So I don't know if that fully answers your question, but you know, it's still a transformation. And sometimes I catch myself.
I think that's a great
scarcity and fear all the time. And I have to get out of it. So, you know,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you can just necessarily say goodbye to it forever, right? There could be times or triggers that bring it back.
Yeah.
What are some of the, I guess I'm curious, what was it that kind of helped you learn the abundance mindset? And then how are you also getting yourself back to that abundance mindset if you find yourself slipping right now?
Great question. So for me, it really did start with reading that Becoming Your Own Banker book and just understanding money better. That helped me. And then joining up with the group that I work with, Create Tailwind, we have these weekly calls. And I told them like 2 months ago on a call, I was like, I feel like I'm in this scarcity mindset again, fear, you know, and so I was like, I'm open to your feedback. And so, you know, kind of having that circle of people that you can be honest with. And so I was honest and they, you know, other guys encouraged me on the call and, you know, they started sending me, hey, listen to this. Some guy sent me a song, you know? And so, but I think, you know, I think it's awareness. One, knowing that you have a tendency, like I know for me, there's telltale signs. What I do is I start going into worst case scenarios. And whenever I catch myself being in a worst case scenario, like I have to snap out of it because that's when I go into scarcity and I start being fearful. So I think it's having people around you that, you know, can call you out on it or that you can be honest with about it. And then I have, you know, like certain, I'll read books or I'll listen to a podcast where they're talking about abundance and just anything to get myself out of it, really.
Yeah, I think that's such a wise point. And, you know, accessing your community and having a community in the first place, people who you can rely on and be vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. That's such a powerful thing. You know, we are the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. While I don't necessarily agree with that entirely, I think it's true. We're super influenced by who we spend time with and then catching it and then being able to feed your mind with positive thoughts, right? Yeah. It's just so important. And I have to do it more and more because I think the more you grow, the scarier territory you're entering. And so it's still going to happen as you grow, right? Because you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone more and more.
Yeah. And like my wife, I mentioned this before show, but she has these little affirmations like this art around the house and it'll say like my future is brighter than my past. So things like that too, to just kind of have some positivity in your life. So I'll read some of her little art around the house that helps too.
I love that so much. What is her company called?
Ruju, R-U-J-U, Ruju Decor. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Drew, for sharing so much of your story. Really, really enjoyed it and just love your mindset and what you're doing and the journey that you're on. Would you please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I have a website, www.ibcdrew.com, which stands for Infinite Banking Concept Drew. And on there, they can just click book a call with me on the top corner. I'll give out my phone number too. It's 402-515-2692 if anybody wants to just call or text me and see if I can help. And if I can, I'll point them and I'll connect them with someone who can. So
awesome. Well, I hope you check out Drew and his website and give him a call if you're curious about what he's doing with Infinite Banking. Thanks so much, Drew, for coming on the show. We will see you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.